welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe. I do actually have a last name. I kind of assume that everyone knows what it is. But for people who might be looking for me on Strava, somebody asked me the other day how to find me on Strava, and I am Zoe Dowling. Easy to find because it's Zoe with a Y. So I'm back from Surf Coast Trail on the weekend, which was awesome. It was a lot of sand running though. It was a little bit rough on my calves, and if I had sort of thought it through a bit better, well, I'm not sure what I would have done, but 2 weeks in a row with events is less than ideal. But at least it was spectacular. That's the main thing. And I did discover some new muscles in my feet that I didn't realise was there. So all good things on the weekend. But mostly the best part of anything like that is getting to see people and spend time with people and getting to see my athletes run and finish and do all of that sort of thing, which is far more important to me than anything that I personally might do on a weekend like that. And I get to do it 2 weeks in a row because of the Gold Coast this weekend. We are having a team dinner, so if you're interested in joining us for that on the Saturday night, just pop into the community group and it's an event in there, so you can get all of the details from in the community group, which I will link up to for you. So this week I thought I'd talk a little bit about managing the sort of the final week. I talked last time I did a solo podcast, I talked a bit about the sort of the logistics of, yes, carb loading and hydration and strategizing and all of that sort of stuff. But in the last week, when you're doing significantly less running, you've got significantly more time to really kind of psych yourself out, I think. And I think that it can be a quite stressful period of time because you want all of that training to mean something, but you also want to be able to enjoy it, and you probably end up sort of thinking around in circles for a good period of time in the lead up. And it is something that you can definitely make yourself completely crazy with. So if you are coming up to an event, or for the future when you're coming up to an event, you can always do something that I like to do, which is just to check in with the things that I know. And so for myself on the weekend, I have a rather terrifying goal, and that's okay. In some ways, I think it's kind of necessary, as long as it's exciting and scary, not just plain old scary. But that's also kind of the first part of what you want to check in with your sort of how you're feeling about it. Is your goal a realistic one? And I think that it's great to have something that is, you know, that you're reaching for, so that it's going to be difficult and challenging, but that it still needs to be based in something. So when I look at the sort of like the pacing that I've got planned, I can look at that and go, okay, yeah, that's scary, but I've done a recent half marathon distance with no crowd, no atmosphere, fueled but no water, and this isn't that much faster than that. So I can sort of take a step back from, oh, that looks really scary, and just check in and go, okay, this is not a huge, huge leap away from what I think that my capabilities are. Another way to test that out is to just look at, there are loads and loads of calculators online. Nothing like that is 100% accurate. Everyone has their own sort of strengths and weaknesses, but you can use a recent time trial to give you a ballpark figure of where it thinks you are for a specific distance, keeping in mind that that's only going to work if you have actually been specifically training for that distance. So if I've been specifically training for the mile
And so I've got a really good mile time, and then I plug that in and go, oh, I can run this for a half marathon. It's not necessarily going to work that way because I've been training for the mile, not training to run 21 kilometres. But it is a good way if you're unsure about what your pacing should be to kind of like check in with what is going to be an achievable goal for you, so that that can give you some confidence that you can sort of start off your pacing and you're not going to blow up. So once that's sort of been established, you can then kind of check in with other things that you know. So I know that I've done the training, done all of the runs, I've done all of the recovery, I've done tapering, I've done all of my nutrition in the lead up. I know what all my plans are going to be for nutrition during and after and all of that sort of stuff. And so just reminding myself that I have actually done the work. Then I also like to sort of think about recent, usually you will have had some kind of in the lead up, some kind of recent run with something at around race pace usually. And so you can look back on that and think about how that actually felt, even if it's for a much shorter period of time than the actual race itself. So this week I did like a 4 kilometer warm up, 4 kilometers at race pace, and a 3 kilometer cool down. And the 4 kilometer race pace felt fast, but it also didn't feel bad either. Like I was probably not fully recovered from the weekend, but I thought that I would like to do my sort of more quality session at the beginning of the week, so I'd have more recovery going into the Gold Coast. So that's what I did, and it felt pretty good. I did not feel out of control. It didn't feel like I was struggling to breathe. It felt okay. And if I think about doing it 5 more times, it's a little bit scary, but I can kind of keep reminding myself of how my body felt during that, and it felt good, and just keep reminding myself of that. Then the next thing to sort of check in with is to think about what happens if it goes horrifyingly pear-shaped. So, everything, you do all of your planning, you do all of your, pre-fueling, do everything that is within your control. And then for whatever reason, either either it's not your day, or the pacing is just a little bit aggressive and you blow up and it just ends up being not what you'd hoped for. And in that situation, 2 things happen. One is that you get great feedback about where you are actually at, so you get a better idea of where your realistic pacing is. And the other thing is it doesn't really matter, because there is always another run you can do. There's always another race you can do. It's not the be-all and end-all. And all you can do is go out there and find out whether it's there or it's not quite there, or, and it will tell you what you need to work on in terms of like when you are going for the next one. So I think that is also good to remind yourself that it's easy to get caught in the what if this happens and what if that happens, but really say, well, what if that happens? Then that's okay. That is not going to be a crisis. That's not the end of the world. I mean, I don't know how many half marathons I've done now, but I think I've got to be doing, I must say at least 12 or 13, maybe. And I've had no perfect ones. I've had one that was relatively close to being perfect, and even in that one, my shoes were slightly too small, and every time for like probably about the last 10 kilometres of that half marathon, for every time my foot hit the ground, it's like agony in my toes because the shoes were too small. And that was my PB run on the Gold Coast. So even when things like that happen, it's not necessarily a killer of an event, but there have been no races that I've run where something hasn't gone wrong. So then it becomes a lot less about, you know, trying to make sure that nothing goes wrong, and a lot more about what happens when it does. And then you're just in the situation of having to roll with it and come out with the best option that you can. So I'm not going to take off my shoes and start running barefoot. So I just, for the most part, attempted to ignore the fact that my toes were really hurting in my shoes, and at points I was even sort of counting the steps and just doing anything that I could to ignore the fact, and kind of just going, okay, this is happening. Every time my foot hits the ground, it's going to hurt, and that's okay because it's only for this amount of time. And only really was particularly unpleasant for about the 5Ks at the end, and they're always unpleasant anyway. And I've had other situations where I needed to stop to use the toilet, and it is what it is. You know, like at that point you go, okay, A goal is gone, we'll focus on the B goal and just go with that, because some races that will happen, a lot of others it won't. You'll get better at what your body can handle in terms of fueling and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Like, I have gotten a lot better at it over time in terms of what I eat before and what I eat during, and how to sort of tell when I need to stop having a gel. So now I sort of have, like, I aim to have 3 gels, but the last one I'm like, only if I can handle it. And then there have been other ones where I've just had a bad day, and for whatever reason, it's not sort of reflective of where my fitness is at or anything else that's going on, but for whatever reason on that day, I just do not have it within me, and the best thing that I can do is finish. And probably that thing is probably going to be the hardest potential thing that could happen on a race day. The other things, you know, like shoes or getting a blister or, you know, having a bit of an upset tummy, those are all things that are outside of your control. And even though this is outside your control too, it feels like it shouldn't be. So that's probably why I think it's the much harder scenario to deal with. And sometimes it can happen for a few reasons. So there are some things to be aware of. One is that as much as there was a time when I used to not understand why people would warm up before running 21 kilometres, now I kind of think that warming up is a good idea. I mean, it depends. If I'm going out for a social run at an easy pace and to enjoy the run, then I wouldn't see a reason to warm up because I've got plenty of time to warm up. But if I'm going to start running at probably around like a threshold pace, then warming up is a good idea, because if I don't, those first 3 kilometres are going to feel awful no matter what. So it could be that it's just either warming up properly or tolerating that the first little bit is going to feel pretty awful. That can be one thing why you can feel off, but it could just be, you know, it can be other things like lack of sleep, or it can just be an off day. And when that happens, all you can do is run your best on that specific day. It's not your best on a perfect day, it's your best on that day. But also don't use it as an excuse either. So for me, I know that the middle part is always the hard part for me, which you probably heard me talk about lots of times, which it is. I think it's that bit where you kind of get super excited because you're like, I'm doing it, yay. And then you go, oh, I've still got half to go. That's actually a really long way. Am I going to be able to do it? And those sort of doubts start creeping in. So going in for me, knowing that bit is going to be a challenge, and that if I just stick with it, it's temporary, it will pass and it will get easier. And then often, you know, the last 3 to 5 kilometres are always going to be hard if you're, you know, pushing the edge of what you're capable of. But at that point, you're so close to the end, you know that you can just keep going. And knowing that things can possibly go wrong is going to help to sort of protect you from falling apart if they do go wrong in the middle of a race. And knowing that there's often nothing that you can do about it, and it is just sort of part and parcel of what happens in any sport, and it's not a personal reflection on you or on your training or anything. You know, sometimes it just happens. So I like to have all of that in the back of my mind, that all of these things are things that could happen, but also not to use it as an excuse to back off when I do enter that hard part. And I think that any time that I'm going for something that is like a PB, I just have an understanding that it is going to hurt. It is going to be hard, and it's going to be worth it at the end. And sometimes it is just about putting all of those things to one side. You know, you'll have those thoughts about, I don't think I can keep going at this pace, but just stick in the kilometer you're in. So when I'm in the first kilometer, I don't think about the fact that I've got 20 kilometers to go. I am just in that kilometer, and I'm sort of just, it can be easy even while you're running to freak yourself out a little bit. So it's just about kind of like doing the same thing as you would do before a race, sort of checking in with how you feel. Body feels okay, breathing feels okay, you can keep going. Don't worry about anything but just how you're running now. And the same goes, you know, when you're getting into the middle in the hard part, you just keep checking in going, nope, body feels okay, lungs feel okay, I can keep going, and not worry about how you're going to feel in 2 or 3 or 5 kilometers, because it is the kind of thing where it's just can be hard to conceive of the distance. So you just stay where you're at and just like a horse with blinders on. So in the week leading up to the Gold Coast or any event that you're doing, particularly if you are going to be pushing the pace and attempting something that you haven't done before, it's all about checking in with what you know, and don't let logic abandon you. So have you done the training? Have you picked a goal that is reasonable? Have you set several goals for if something does go slightly pear-shaped on the day? Have you done all of your preparation? Have you done all of your pacing strategy? Are you willing to be disciplined on the run and stick to what you have planned out? And have you done everything that you can do for your body in terms of recovery with rolling and everything else? And if you've done all of those things, well, then you've literally done everything that you can possibly do. And then all you've got to do is run, and whatever happens, happens. And you might fall short, but you aren't going to wonder. You're going to know. And then you can take that feedback and then put it into your next training cycle, and so that you will get it next time. So I hope that that is helpful in dealing with your next bout of taper crazies. And for me, I've got, so my PB at the Gold Coast in 2014 was 1:49:45. So realistically, I will accept anything underneath that, and if I end up going out too fast and all goes horrifyingly wrong, I'm okay with it, because having run 1:51 the other week was way more than I thought I could do. So I'm sort of happy to run a slightly more aggressive race at the Gold Coast and just see what happens. So anything under that is good, but I'm going to go for, like, I've set up my pacing strategy to aim for 1:47 and see what happens. And I am excited to see what happens. I mean, I'm also terrified, but probably more excited than terrified, which is a good sign. And I'm looking forward to seeing, catching up with as many people as possible while I'm up on the Gold Coast, and I'll be hanging out around the finish line waiting for people to come in. So if you would like to catch up at the event, just pop into the community group and let me know that you're going to be there, and I will keep an eye out for you, and I will speak to you next week to give you all the gory details. Bye.